Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, hi. Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, depending on when you're listening to the Transformation Cafe. We know a lot of this stuff comes on. We get a lot of people calling and saying they listen to the download, so we welcome you whenever you're checking us out. We are the Transformation Cafe, and we're all here to just kind of settle in and have a good little noshing on some wonderful information. We have a guest chef in the house tonight. Dr. Stephen Ward from Chiroman.com is once again back in the cafe. So, hey, Mr. Ward, how's it going, Dr. Ward?
I am great. How are you?
Great. I am fabulous. So great to have you back on the show again. And we have Mr. Jamie in the house. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm okay. Hanging in there.
You're okay? Good, good. Yeah. You want to tell everybody a little bit about who you are, just in case we've got any new listeners tonight?
I'm a friend of Rob from way back when, like high school. And I'm currently Seattle, Washington. I've been up here for about 15 years. I'm a tattoo artist by trade. I have a tattoo shop called Chromo Tattoo. And I left a think that I help people with kick armor, which is what
That's
I used
right.
to say.
They express themselves with their skin. That's all good.
Right.
And again, I'm Robin Misevich. I have a flower shop and it's called Flowers for You in Riverside, California. And I think I help people to just embrace nature in beautiful ways that they can bring into their homes and enhance the energy wherever they go. There we go. Okay. And Mr. Dr. Ward, you want to give everybody kind of a little bit about who you are and how you're contributing to the world? No pressure on that, huh?
Oh, no pressure at all. Well, I'm a second generation chiropractor, and mm-hmm. I have been blessed to follow in my dad's footsteps, and my dad was Dr. Lowell Ward. He was the founder of chiropractic spinal column stressology, and spinal column stressology is the study of the spine in both the standing and seated positions from the front and side. So in that methodology, we look at full spine x-rays in both the standing and seated position. At that point, we marked about 50 measurements on the spine, and from the measurements that are marked, we're able to classify behavioral stress, and we're able to see if that stress issue is relative to current issues or if they're more inherited. And as we have found, many people have issues that they have bonded with, and they're actually seeing their life through the eyes of someone else's experience. So that's a little bit about what we do in chiropractic. It's a different approach, and it's definitely a mind-spine-body connection.
Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating mind and spine connection, really. I think how I got to introduce to Dr. Ward was back in November of last year. They had a Leaders Causing Leaders convention in Long Beach, and I had the privilege of seeing him live and on the stage, actually in the kids section of the convention that they had. He did a wonderful job presenting, and I had heard so much about him from a couple of friends of mine that actually had gone to him as patients that I made sure that I connected with him and invited to come on the show, and he actually even assisted a friend of mine that he had been assisting and helped her to get to a new place of balancing in her life, so I thank him for that. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about last show that we had been on, which was about 4 weeks ago. We were talking about female female tendencies in posture, and how does that look when it comes to issues, as Dr. Ward had been saying. So tonight we're going to talk about male-dominant male, right?
Yes, well, there are two ways of looking at it. One is male-dominant males, or the other would be female-dominant males. Male dominant males would be more left in a curvature, and left in curvature is more of a logic pattern. And men that have left curvature commonly have dominant parents, a dominant male parent, and they are certainly looking for male parent encouragement, approval, and validation. On the other hand, a female dominant male, which I see many more female dominant males in my clinic. I'm not saying that there are more in the world, but in my clinic, I see more of the female dominant male category. And those are the men who their fathers are more obscure, their mothers are more dominant, and their need for approval comes from the female parent source because the father is oftentimes not present. So in both examples, we can see, you know, depending upon how the curve is deviating from normal, whether or not their need is for male parent approval or female parent approval.
And just to review with everybody, too, so one thing I was always finding really fascinating once since I've been introduced to this information is that going back to where it's almost a prenatal kind of a thing, you know, coming from the womb and coming from the first experiences coming into the world, how we get really affected by that.
Right, and that it's, you know, we see all different degrees of fetal trauma. We see the issue of a parent wanting a specific gender. So if a parent wants a girl, gets a boy, they're likely to, the boy will be female dominant. And if, for instance, they follow, a lot of times they could follow a issue where there might be a prior miscarriage or an abortion, and that can impact gender. Then you can also look at it from the issue of if you have a parent that is in a gender issue, a mother that's very male dominant and controlling, then that issue can pass down to the child and create a gender issue within the child. So there are many different ways that the fetus can be impacted. And it is at that level we feel that a lot of injury, lifetime injury, begins.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just how we look at it is, where is that source? Is the source a parent that has a gender issue? Is the source a parent who wants a specific gender? Or is there a trauma that took place prior, a miscarriage or an abortion that took place prior, that may be impacting the gender of the child who follows?
Okay, what would be some of the physical symptoms or physical you know, manifestations of something like that within the body? So people could say, well, yes, I guess that maybe I have that, or I can see tendencies for that, or I know somebody who is like that.
Well, for instance, in a female dominant male, they are going to be more emotional. They're going to be more sensitive. They're going to set high standards. They're going to get angry when they give their best and someone meets their best with a issue of it not being enough. That will set them off into anger. You know, the issues get deeper as they evolve through life, and of course, testicular cancer, prostate cancer are very common patterns of behavior for men that are right curve. The emotional male is more likely to be impacted by gender issues and gender dysfunction than the male dominant male. And, so I think it's interesting because if we want to have an impact on these gender problems, then we really need to embed into consciousness the importance of loving that fetus for just what it is, whatever it is. If it's a male loving it, if it's a female loving it, not coming in from this preconceived setup of what they feel they need to have to be happy with whatever the child is. And so those are the big issues that take place with the female dominant issue. Now, from another perspective, I will say that a lot of men who go and cheat on, say they're married and they go out and they cheat on their wives, a lot of times are female dominant because their need for approval is from female, and the female dominant male as a rule attract the male dominant female, and they have challenges in giving that male the approval they need. So then they will look outside of the relationship to another female who will give them the validation and encouragement. However, it doesn't last that long, and that's why a lot of men who do, you know, cheat on their women and then attract other women, they go through many different women because the issues, they're not being sustained. It's short term, you know, it's short term. Encouragement and validation. It's not long term. So it's a very unhealthy issue for men to be, you know, trying to meet their needs by finding more and more women because if they don't go to the core issue, they never feel enough for the woman that they're with.
Because it's something, you know, they need to be loving themselves more than anything.
Well, of course, and that's the challenge, you know, always when we have these patterns of behavior is we expected our parents to love us, but, you know, that's not, it's easy to say that we love someone. It's not so easy to really know that that love is real because a lot of times the love that we get from parents is fear-based love. It's codependent love. It's love based on the word if. And to me, I feel it's very important that we understand that, yes, in the fantasy world, we would all like to be loved neutrally and accepted and encouraged by our parents. But let's stop and pause and ask ourselves the question from a degree of honesty, do my parents love, validate, and encourage self? And if they have not learned that skill, is it real to expect that they can fulfill my needs if they haven't fulfilled their own? And then is it real that we can expect a peer to come into our life and fulfill our needs if we haven't fulfilled our own love process within self?
So how do you encourage your parent, you know, your patients when you see something like this? What's some of the things that you found to be effective for helping people to get balanced? Like, say somebody who's coming to you and they're showing signs of, say, a prostate issue. It may not have necessarily turned cancerous yet, but yet you can see that it's going that direction. What are some things you would encourage them to do or in ways of assisting them to, you know, to being in balance?
Well, first of all, I would encourage them to work on the issue of internalization of hurt. I would encourage them to begin to express the hurt they feel in their life. And I would encourage them to, whether or not they express it to the person that's hurting them, that's another thing because that takes some training, but at least express it outwardly. You know, when this was said, it made me feel this way, and it was hurtful, and I didn't like how I felt. Because if we cannot help them to understand that a lot of the cancer profiles are coming from misdirected hurt, and instead of dealing with their hurt, they're internalizing their hurt and personalizing their hurt, instead of realizing that the person who's hurting them was hurt, and they're transferring that hurtful experience to that person. So that's number one, you know, teach them how to deal with hurt. I coach them on how to preface hurt. You know, prefacing hurt would be something as simple as, you know, all my life I've taken my hurt internally. Now in my life I'm working on that issue. So I want you to know this is not all about you, that this is a lifetime issue in me. However, when you said this, it made me feel this way and it was hurtful. That is a very powerful process because it really can go to the root of these prostate and different gender cancer issues. Secondly, I think it's very important that we teach them that our life is dictated by our words and our thoughts, and our words and thought have a vibration and a frequency, and we attract what we are expressing. So I would teach them to express a love command to their gender. I love myself for the man I was created to be. I love myself for the woman I was created to be. I love all parts of me, you know, that kind of thing. Because if you ask people purpose, a lot of times they are unclear on what it is, and they commonly do not embed love to their gender ever. And to me, if you have a gender issue, it's vital that you begin to embed love to your gender. And to me, that is very important. So those are the a couple of things that, you know, I certainly would suggest. I would go deeper too and find out where the source of it is. And based on the structural analysis, we'll know, oh, it's your gender issue, it's your parents' gender issue, it's a generational issue. And instead of getting lost thinking it's yours, you may be just bonding with someone else's issue.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you come to that for yourself personally when it came to something like that, of just being comfortable, getting comfortable with your own gender? And was something that you had to discover, or was something you kind of your dad had presented to you, and just ways of wellness for people to recognize that, first, if, you know, physically and then emotionally?
Well, certainly my dad was way ahead of the game, and the things he was discovering are pretty amazing, that there are patterns to all sorts of different conditions. I really had to come to grips with that issue within myself as I journeyed through, say, the last decade of my life, as my dad passed away and I was looking at life, you know, more from my own perspective. And I realized that I had a gender issue, that my mother wanted a girl and got a boy, that my mother was also... What's that?
How did you figure that out?
Because I had a set of x-rays taken, and I was in a right curvature, and my pattern really reflected my need to be enough for my mother. And, of course, as I then could then take pictures of my mom, I could see her need was to be enough for her father. So she had this male dominant pattern. I had this female dominant pattern, and I would go to her for the encouragement, and she would withhold it because no one ever gave it to her. So, so when you can see, you know, the story unfold, and since I've seen it unfold thousands of times, that people have this issue, and that it's not one person, it's not me alone that has this issue. A lot of the world has this issue. But our what we're doing is we're misdirected, because we're going with the need to the parent, and we're expecting the parent to fulfill it, and the parent doesn't have the skills or the tools to fulfill it, so that we think, because we didn't get what we needed from our parent, that we haven't done enough. And the reality of it is, it doesn't matter what you do, you're not ever going to be enough for that parent that's in that gender issue. So if we can... You know, it works like this. When you don't need it, you can get it. And when you need it, it's usually withheld. So when you tell a parent, no, I'm no longer come to you with this need, and I'm going to step up and handle this need, then all of a sudden that parent can give you that. But if you keep playing the game of, oh, is this good enough, then you're always going to be left with the feeling that you're not enough.
Right.
And to me that's tragic, because we are spiritually powerful people that come into an experience, and we have great tools, and we're in total abundance. We have all sorts of abundance in our reality, and it's all in how we choose to see ourselves, what words we choose to use in our life, and by choosing healthier words, we change our experience to a far more fruitful one. And gender issues are humongous in our culture. and mm-hmm. other cultures as well. And they're not small issues, they're big issues.
Have you had an opportunity to present this to the medical community? The different kinds of seminars and maybe talks and stuff, and how have they been embracing this information?
Well, yes, to answer your question, I have done workups on many medical doctors. I've also gone to different countries that were sponsored by medical doctors because there were not chiropractors in Argentina or Colombia or, you know, different areas. So I would go in there, I work on the most severe cases imaginable, and a lot of times I would meet the doctors once, but what they would do is they'd have video cameras up all over, and they were taping everything that was being done. So I feel like it's been positive. It certainly hasn't been as big as I would like it to be, because I think it truly goes to a level of, if we look at things as cause-effect, we have more power in shifting it than we do by just chasing the effect.
Right.
And to me, that's the great challenge between the medical model and some of what we're doing, is I'm looking at it and saying, hey, what's the cause to this problem? Because if we go there and get to the root, we align with some psychotherapy, maybe some EMDR, the rapid eye movement desensitization process. We can shift these people. By shifting them, we can help to change their outcome, help to change their identity, help them to see their life from their own eyes. In essence, we're helping them to wake up in their life, because unfortunately, people oftentimes are asleep. They are seeing their life through someone else's eyes, and there comes a time in our life that we need to take off the glasses, and we need to look at everything we were taught, and we need to ask the question, where do we learn it from? And if we learned it from someone, it's not ours. And to me, that's a critical point.
Well, and that seems like a pretty much the bulk of everything that you bring, you know, that who you are is an experience in the world.
Correct.
You know, we've learned it from somebody else.
Yeah.
So,
is that mine or is it yours? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of an overwhelming thing when you really sit down and just say, well, how much have I really, you know, learned on my own here, that kind of thing. So it's very, very interesting.
I think we do get there. You know, we do evolve into, at least that's my hope. And I know that, you know, my ability in my life to help myself with these issues has helped everyone in my family. My sister's mm-hmm. healthier. My mom's healthier as a result. My relationship with my mom is amazing. And it's because there's not that need to get that fulfillment from her, take the pressure off that, and then it's amazing how effortless it is. All she wants to ever do is validate me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't do anything wrong. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I've had the privilege of watching you in your clinic, and it's the same thing. When you're saying that, I'm realizing that everybody who walks in that door knows you're just taking an unconditional love and looking at them and saying, in this moment, you know, how can I help you? How can I serve you? And there's that unconditional acceptance of one another. So people just love to come and see you just because you've got that, you know, that genuine embracing of them, of, you know, who they are, because that's how you are with yourself.
Right, and I think it's very powerful, you know, to have people come into that setting, because they're certainly not expecting that. But on top of that, by the time they leave, I've reframed it into they are their best doctor. I can give them tools. It's up to them to take the daily action to reframe their life. We give them tools, but can't do it for them. You know, it'd be wonderful if I have that power. I don't. You know, they have the power, as I have the power in my own life, to take a serious look at self and make some pretty amazing changes. People have the power within them. When given that opportunity, you'll be amazed at what they can do. And it's really not me. I'm the coach. I lead them to the water. They choose to drink it, and they choose to change the way in which they think. They change the words that they choose. They recognize that they are love deprived and the time is now to get serious on that issue. And that is, and it may be a loving environment in my clinic, but that is not enough. That the true love needs to come from self. And I tell them, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it matters that you embed it consistently. Because if you embed it consistently, you will believe it.
Well, one of the best ways to embed it positively, Dr. Ward has several different screensaver programs from the Power of Positive Computing. And if you go to his chiroman.com, just the way it sounds, chiroman.com, there's another link you can go to right there. It's called the Power of Positive Computing. And you can actually just purchase that right offline and be able, online and be able to just download it into your computer. And they're beautiful, just vistas and just nature settings with wonderful quotes from just all different wonderful writers. And just coming from that very loving soul place, embracing ourselves in the best of who we are and what we're capable of. And he actually has one whole series that he's done with Oprah Winfrey. And it's just really wonderful, all these positive positive images, the power of nature and the way that we can embrace it on such a more vast level. It's really embracing ourselves on that wonderful level. So I really want to compliment and thank Dr. Ward for putting that together. You can actually see that when you go to his clinic. He's got his... He's continually has a laptop running when you're sitting there waiting to meet up with him and get any kind of adjustments or just conferencing with him. You have the privilege of being able to watch that while you're waiting, and it's a lovely, refreshing little drink for the soul. It's very wonderful.
It is nice, and just one thing, I have created a product line for Oprah. She doesn't even know it's been created yet, but she will know soon enough.
And then we're going to say, hey, I knew Dr. Ward, and Dr. Ward used to hang out at the cafe as a little guest chef, and look at him now. There we go. Which is going to be wonderful, and it is wonderful.
And beautiful.
So. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I've enjoyed it. This is fun.
Yeah. I wanted to give everybody an update on how they can get a hold of Dr. Ward. His office is the Ward Chiropractic Family Center, and their address is 6530 East Spring Street in Long Beach, California. And the contact number for their office is 562-420-8884. Again, that's 562-420-8884. You can also go to chiroman.com. All kinds of wonderful information on there. Some of the things that we talked about tonight on just different aspects of the spinal wellness and what that looks like. And there's some things on there about the male dominant, female dominant. You can actually see some spinal side shots of what that can look like and things like that. And I encourage everybody, if you're interested in really looking at, you know, where am I with who I am and being able to just really love myself and come from that place of self-love and loving my gender, who I am now, go in and get a full spinal x-ray, and Dr. Ward can go ahead and do an evaluation on you and be able to check that out. So thank you, Dr. Ward. Thank you, doctor. Here we go.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So we're down to our last 60 seconds. Anything for encouragement on maybe one quick thing that people could do to be assisting themselves as we go off here and start noshing on our dessert here with the cafe?
My last thought would be to just be very clear that we all are unique and we all have a divine purpose. And there's no one out there that's purpose is more important than someone else's. So let's start with purpose. Let's start recognizing our value. Let's recognize the purpose of loving self at our worst and our best, at our highest and our lowest points. Love ourselves when we're being criticized. Love ourselves when we're being rejected. Love ourselves when someone wants to make us feel inadequate. When we do come from that love for self, those things do not have the destructive power to, you know, injure our health and our life. So if I were to end on something, I would say make your life about a purpose of love. Be committed to it. You will find that you are worth it, and you will find that little bit of wisdom will change your life.
There you go. There you go. And it's all about transformation. This is a transformation cafe. So thank you, Doc, and thank you, Jamie. And we will see you next time at the cafe. You too.
All right.
Bye, guys.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well. And we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.